I guess we're going to have to wait a little bit to get Kelly on the phone here. So one of the things that Kelly's going to be talking about is the notion that communications, the demand for communication speed increases. And so it looks like we got Kelly on, Kelly O'Connell now on board. Kelly, welcome.
Hi, Will.
So, Kelly, tell us a little bit about Robert Half Technology.
Robert Half Technology is the leading IT service and staffing agency here in North America.
And what would people call you for?
They would call us for contract and contract to hire, as well as direct hire, specialized IT technology professionals.
Wonderful. So do you recruit and hire salespeople for technology companies?
I do personally, internally to Robert Half. I recruit and hire salespeople, but our organization focuses primarily on placing highly skilled technology professionals, occasionally pre-sales technology engineers, but predominantly Microsoft Core and Oracle Core technology professionals in development and infrastructure roles.
Great. Well, tell us a little bit about what this survey that that you guys did.
We conducted a survey of approximately 1,400 CIOs, a random sample of U.S. companies that had 100 or more employees. And among that, within that survey, we asked CIOs about workplace communication strategy and what their preferred tools for workplace communication were.
And what'd you find out?
Oh, we found out that more than 54% of our CIOs expect real-time tools to surpass email in terms of popularity in the next 5 years.
Wow. It's been very interesting. Email has become the predominant communication format. What do you think is going on?
Well, it's hard to say whether or not email will be abandoned altogether, but technology innovates, and right now there's definitely a place for email as part of office communication. Right now, it's often the best communication tool when people communicate one-on-one. However, Gen Y workers, especially those who are just graduating, are increasingly accustomed to working with information in quick exchange, like texting. And so those workers, as they enter the workforce, are increasingly preferring real-time tools over email, things like Yammer or instant messaging, because it allows them a quicker exchange of data in real time.
So, do you guys use Yammer?
We don't. Here at Robert Half, we actually use Office Communicator for everyday instant messaging.
Uh-huh.
We also use video conferencing, which is another real-time tool for communication inter-office and across national geography.
So, can I ask you a question about how you use your video technology?
Absolutely.
So, do you schedule most of your conferences, or is this ad hoc? I mean, I want to talk to Kelly Burton up in Denver, so I just click it. She seems to be online. I click it and see if she's there.
So right now we're using video conferencing primarily to talk with individuals in separate offices face-to-face, and it's primarily pre-scheduled. We work in a pretty time-structured environment here at Robert Half. That said, there are companies who do use video conferencing in that way.
Really? So what do you think is driving this move to real-time communication?
That's a great question. I think that it's in part the Gen Y workers as they're entering the workforce and the need for increased efficient communication. I also think that real-time communication is for today what email was for companies 10 years ago. I think it's an emerging technology that allows management, practitioners in the workplace, and employees to be able to communicate with one another about issues in a streamlined and efficient way. And I think all of us are being asked to multitask more and more today.
Well, do you think that the move toward this real-time communication for speed, convenience, and I guess it's it feels like Twitter. Do you think that that's that we're going to wind up having B2B messages through that? It seems to me that that's a separate world from messaging, you know, commercial messaging.
You know, I'm not sure I would be able to answer that, although if I were, I think I might be able to innovate business and have an altogether different perspective. But I do know that internal operating, internal communication is definitely moving in that direction, and certainly the CIOs that we interviewed did suggest that they do expect real-time tools to increase in popularity over the next 5 years. So I think that the CIOs would say that we're going to see real-time tools become more and more predominant in our workplace.
Yeah, I know some of my clients use Yammer, and a number of them use Chatter with Salesforce. It seems to move people out of the office into a communication cloud.
I completely agree. I think Yammer is purpose. It's an enterprise social network service. Unlike Twitter, it's not for public disclosure. It's used for private communication within organizations. So it allows for security even when people are in the field in terms of the distribution of information. And it's definitely a popular tool for field employees.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how about for office employees? Do you see that? You see that happening too?
Absolutely. And we use our version in Office Communicator here every day at Robert Half. It provides us with instant communication. For example, I could be on a telephone call, a conference call, or having a dialogue with someone like you, and somebody on my team may be asking me about parking validation for somebody who's coming into the office. It allows you to multitask efficiently without negatively impacting your business.
So you use video conferencing. You don't use Yammer, don't use Chatter. What else did you say you used?
Office Communicator for everyday instant messaging. It's a standard instant messaging tool.
Okay. Did you find out anything from the CIOs that you were talking to about what they used?
So the most common examples of tools that they're using are Yammer, instant messaging, and Microsoft SharePoint, which is a web-based application platform that's designed to provide centralized web applications to support document management and various enterprise web requirements. And it allows people to manage data communication as part of that package as well.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds interesting. What do you make of this? How do you think this will change the change management or change the patterns of work?
I think in a similar way that email changed the way that we work 10 years ago. I think there was a time when email first started that managers were initially concerned about how email would be utilized by workers, whether they would be using it to chat with one another, whether it could actually be a productivity tool, or if in fact it would decrease productivity. I think that CIOs today see real-time communication tools in a similar way to email in the past. I think there's some trepidation, but I think that overall most would say, at least 54% that we surveyed, would say that they believe that they don't need to give it a second thought in the workplace, that it's going to be something that's going to allow for team communication, that will allow for a decentralized workplace where they can communicate in a decentralized way, meaning offices across the world will be able to communicate in real time with one another. And I think that will innovate the way that we work and will innovate workflow process.
Apparently, there is not a lot of concern about security.
I think data security is always a concern for companies, but I think that real-time communication tools, especially the ones that we've been talking about, Yammer, Office Communicator, SharePoint, have controls in place that allow for conversation in much the same way as there are controls around email. And I think that it really starts with employers ensuring that workers aren't using real-time communication tools for non-work-related purposes. And many employers do that by creating a best practice guideline for how real-time tools should be used and posting them in visible places, providing memos about what those best practices are, or even providing a PowerPoint tutorial about how to best use real-time communication tools. But I think that if companies have good, solid guidelines around real-time communication, they find a way to make them effective without security risk.
Yeah, okay. All right. So I wonder, have you seen, I can see this working domestically, have you seen it working internationally?
Unfortunately, our survey was limited to the CIOs here in North America. I will say that the CIOs that we surveyed were from U.S. companies with 100 or more employees, and certainly many of them have international workplaces. So I think that it would be fair to extrapolate that real-time communication tools can allow for international communication in real-time in much the same way as video conferencing as a real-time communication tool clearly does that in the workplace today.
Well, I know that, you know, I'm part of the Sandler Training Network, and we have 250 offices around the globe, and we use Yammer a lot. And it's interesting to me that most of the people on Yammer are from our international trainers.
Interesting.
The domestic folks haven't really picked up on it in the kind of numbers that the international people have.
I think that's very interesting, and I'd wonder, perhaps that'll be our next survey. I wonder if that's something that we're looking into.
Yeah, I wonder if there's something about, the international community outside, you know, the non-domestic community that is more comfortable with that, or maybe they don't have as much communication. I just wonder what that's about.
Unfortunately, I certainly don't have any insight. It sounds like you have more insight in that area. But I do know that the CIOs that we surveyed said that the three benefits that they see of using real-time tools are convenience, speed, and certainly the social aspect of team communication.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. Now, as you meet with the people that are being hired, aren't you?
That's correct.
Do you find any changes in demographics over the past couple of years?
In terms of who uses real-time communication tools?
No, in terms of who is being hired. Are they tend to be younger than they were, you know, 5 years ago?
I certainly don't know if I could speak to that from my experience in terms of placements, and I'm sure there's something in our corporate office where somebody could talk about demographic trends or perhaps in one of our salary guides. But what I can say is that IT professionals need to keep pace with new technologies in order for them to be placed. They need to have expertise in technologies like SharePoint, which is emerging technology, to keep them marketable in today's IT environment. The pace at which technology adoption occurs is occurring at a faster pace today, from my perception. And so I do think that IT professionals who are looking to stay market relevant need to make sure that they maintain their technology repertoire, that they stay involved in the technology community, whether it's through user groups, whether it's through online training or real-world training or certification training through some of the technology organizations. But in order to maintain marketability, it's really important that they stay abreast of what's the most up-and-coming technology, like real-time communication tools.
Interesting. So I just wonder if part of what we're seeing is a part of what we're seeing in this survey is a reflection of younger CIOs, or if it's CIOs who are dealing with younger people on their staff, or if maybe something has just changed in the environment, in the culture.
Well, the CIOs that we surveyed did say that the inclusion of Generation Y workers in the workplace, especially new graduates, does change the dynamic of communication in the workplace, as Generation Y workers do have a more immediate exchange of information experience. The way that Gen Y workers in today's workplace, we also did a paper recently on Generation Y workers here at Robert Half, and they are more accustomed to quick exchange of information like texting or Twitter. And so our CIOs did say that it has influenced the way their teams communicate.
Well, I wonder if that, wonder how that might affect a manager, management in a company, maybe not necessarily technology, but just the management of a company. As you begin to have this kind of real-time communication, I'm just curious about what that might mean to management. Do they need to be more available? Do they need to be spending more time watching? I mean, sometimes I hear people, I hear, and it's surprising the people who do this, people who are very, very connected, you get this bounce back about email, I'm only watching email once a day or twice a day. However, you can Twitter me, right? You tweet me right now and I'll get back to you.
Well, I think that real-time communication tools are going to become more popular, and I think that they will change the workplace and the way we communicate in a way similar to the way that email changed the workplace 10 years ago. I think email has absolutely, I don't think there's anybody out there who debate that email changed the way workplaces operate, and I think real-time communication tools, if the CIOs we surveyed are any indicator, are going to be tremendously impactful. And I think that they're important, just as I mentioned, the best practice guidelines that companies should create to protect them for security. I think that just like with email, there are going to be some really important real-time etiquette guidelines that employers are going to need to think about. So when you're thinking about management of real-time communication tools, we'd want those managers to make sure that there are real-time communication guidelines, things like making your messages clear, things like being prompt within the message, being polite within your video conferencing if you're doing it in your cubicle, not interrupting the people in the cubicles on either side of you. Things like when leveraging instant messaging tools, avoiding emoticons or smiley faces or minimizing abbreviated words, which might give an impression of less than professionalism. I think those things will be the things that managers will be thinking about in terms of real-time communication.
Yeah, I think there's probably some training around that, helping people understand what the impact of sitting in a meeting and answering instant messages. What's going on?
I couldn't agree more. In 2000, I was an IT practitioner. So in the 99-2000, I was working in IT at a college back east, and I remember providing training on email etiquette to the professors at the college, how to respond professionally in email. And I think that it's highly probable that we'll start to see real-time etiquette guidelines and best practices and start to see companies doing professional development training around video conferencing and Yammer and SharePoint documentation control in the near future.
Yeah, there's a number of free video conferencing programs out there, which I think is only going to increase the amount of usage that people have.
I completely agree.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting world as we begin to be. Well, I mean, now I think almost all computers coming out now have cameras in them, don't they?
I couldn't speak to that. but I certainly know the one I bought recently does.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and I think it's kind of snuck up on people because I've had people say, I didn't realize I had a camera. And so, you know, we're on video conferencing now and back and forth, and this may, you know, it's new to them. This whole notion of being accessible in a, you know, a video conferencing way, that's very significant. Then when you toss on top of that the whole notion of instant messaging individually as well as things like Yammer and Chatter and you know, these group real-time messages, that it's just going to make a very different experience. But I still wonder how that gets outside of the group, of the company. I mean, Yammer, for instance, is only available to people who have the same domain name for their email.
Absolutely, and that's a way that it, because Yammer is an enterprise social network service, but it's used for private communication with an organization, members have to be organizational members within a group. It's one of their security measures. So
right.
I think that things like Twitter and text are real-time communication tools that take place business to business and on a larger scale. But I think that real-time tools within an organization themselves are going to have enough of a change impact. We'll certainly be able to notice them.
Well, we're certainly going to see some new training, some new guidelines, some new management tools to take a look at how we want people in organizations to communicate, whether we want them to communicate this way, and if we do, how do we want them to communicate?
Absolutely, and I think that there's an opportunity for IT professionals as these tools adapt and are adopted within an organization as well, because as companies adopt the use of real-time tools, there'll be a greater demand for application and software support developers to customize and implement the tools within an organization, and of course for technical support professionals to help support end users who are learning how to use the tools. So they certainly create opportunity in terms of IT professional development as well.
Wow. Interesting. So what have you noticed on a totally different question for you? What have you noticed about hiring? Do you see hiring going up now? Do you see it going down? Stable? What do you see for IT hiring right now?
So for us, the IT hiring market is incredibly strong. We just had our quarterly report come out at the last quarter, and we're up not only year over year but quarter over quarter in terms of IT hiring. So certainly a positive indicator in the marketplace, and our IT hiring trends report just came out recently, and you can find that on our website. And that quarterly IT hiring report shows very positive indicators about the IT hiring marketplace.
Really?
Absolutely.
So we're going to have a lot of jobs there, huh?
Well, we're certainly optimistic based on the trends that we've seen that the IT profession and IT, especially in highly specialized IT professional roles, will continue to be in demand in the marketplace.
Well, all right. Well, is there anything else that you would like to say to IT, you know, IT managers who are hiring out there?
Absolutely. I'd love for them to check out our webpage at www.rht.com to find that hiring trend as well as the full survey that we talked about here today. But certainly to consider the adoption of real-time tools to increase productivity in the workplace. I think that 54% of their peers have said that they see an increase in use of instant messaging, SharePoint, within their workplace, and I'd certainly love to see that number continue to rise.
Super. Well, so how would somebody get in touch with you if they want to talk with you a little bit more about IT hiring IT professionals?
Well, if they want to talk with me specifically, I am on LinkedIn. I'm Kelly O'Connell, and I'm the Metro Manager for Robert Half Technology. You can find me there. I'm also the president for HDI LA, so you can find me on hdila.org. And if you want to learn more about Robert Half, rht.com, roberthalftechnology.com.
So what are you doing for these instant messaging? What kind of ways can people get in touch with you?
I am on Twitter as well. You can follow me there. And I am at Kelly_O'Connell. And here at the office, if you happen to be a Robert Halfer listening, I'm online. Open up Office Communicator and add me.
Good. Okay. Thank you very much, Kelly, for being with us today. It's always fun to talk with you.
Thanks, Will. I enjoyed being here today. Have a great day.
Super. All right. Before we get to our next two guests, who are very interesting people, they've got a big plan that's beginning to pick up some traction, and we want to hear from them. If you're an entrepreneur, this is something that you're really going to want to hear about. So before then, though, let us hear a word from our sponsor.
Hi, it's time for another tip from Sandler Training. Never ask for the order. Make the prospect give up. Always ask for the order is the salesperson's 11th commandment. You know, the one that just dropped right off the tablets. Never ask for the order goes completely against traditional selling methods. If you don't ask for the order, how will you ever know when the customer is going to buy? Well, think about it. The only person who can really ask for the order is the prospect. Find the prospect's emotional needs first. Provide the answers to meet these needs, and you'll discover that the prospect will give up and ask you for the order. And that's another tip from Sandler Training, finding power through reinforcement.
So we have a couple of people today. We're going to talk a little bit about what entrepreneurs are doing in Orange County and how we as a community can help them to get stronger, better, faster. We know that the major creator of new jobs is small businesses in America. And the place that those small businesses come from is from the ideas and the brains of entrepreneurs. Somebody has to start every company. And so keeping that entrepreneurial funnel going, keeping it strong, helping people to learn, helping people to access resources, that's a very strong, good way of helping to create new jobs and strengthen businesses in America. So we've got a couple of people on the show today who are doing just that. Carlos Pena is the publisher of Capen Magazine. Now, Capen's founding vision was to provide an innovatively inclusive and democratically dynamic stage for entrepreneurs and innovators of all kinds with absolutely no barrier to participation. So in the Capen community, everyone can take charge and help shape its evolution from novice entrepreneurs to veteran innovators, from deals makers to incubators, from nonprofit leaders to creative transformers. So Carlos is going to be with us today, and also Jim Casperi, who is the CEO of the Venture Alliance, who's done some very interesting things with Forbes magazine and putting together a list of highly qualified entrepreneurial companies who are very capable of receiving investment from angel investors or venture capitalists. So welcome, Carlos and Jim.
Thank you for having me.
Carlos, tell us a little bit about how you see Capen working.
Well, Capen works in the way where we provide a platform for startup companies and entrepreneurs to give them access and resources to further their vision, to further their goals in being successful. We found that, from my own experience, too, that you know, we need some resources here in Southern California that we are lacking of to help further the entrepreneurs and businesses' vision and goals. That's basically what we are about in a nutshell.
Now, Carlos, was Jim going to be with you in your office?
Well, he was supposed to. Paul was supposed to call him in. I don't know if he has yet.
Well, just give Paul a telephone number so we can give it to Paul and he'll bring him in. So we'll get to work on that. What? How did Capen get started?
Well, Capen originally was going to be a newsletter that driving down the freeway. I have had other companies that I was trying to promote with Capen Construction and Capen Financial. And I was spending a lot of money on advertising in the local publications, which can be rather expensive. And driving down the freeway, I was trying to figure out a way of how can I market these companies with a limited budget at the same time. So I came up with the idea of a newsletter, but when I started to produce a newsletter and mentioning it to other people, they themselves started to volunteer to contribute topics for the newsletter and writing for the newsletter, and eventually started to grow its own legs to what it is today. And the magazine is basically built by contributors, people that want to collaborate with the magazine. And eventually the whole vision evolved to becoming a collaborative effort to help foster and mentor the entrepreneurial spirit. That's basically how it started.
So what do you see entrepreneurs needing in Orange County today?
Entrepreneurs are needing mentors, people that they can talk to, bounce their ideas off, you know, some basic resources in marketing, in technology, and giving them a direction on how to sell their business to alleviate a lot of the first mistakes that many startups do and some mistakes that entrepreneurs usually make. And the niche that I see with from networking in the different organizations here in Southern California, it's a common theme, basically, that I find meeting other entrepreneurs and startups is, how do I do this or how do I do that? And there really aren't that many resources that you can go to and talk to someone who's an established entrepreneur in their own right and get some feedback. So there's a lot of lack in that sense of in the market.
Okay. Well, let's take a little break here, Carlos, and get Jim on the line.
Okay.
Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Bob Barber with Sandler Training. I'm here to talk to you about rule number 6. Don't buy back tomorrow what you sold today. I was talking to a salesperson the other day, and he'd closed a big deal. Gone to the bank, cashed the check, the works. Unfortunately, he got a 4 o'clock in the morning phone call from a prospect saying, put a hold on things, something's come up. He'd had second thoughts. Second thoughts. Have you ever had second thoughts? Of course you have. It's human nature. It's usually right after you let your daughter stay out late on Friday night, or you order dessert or buy that new car. Did I make the right decision? It's only human nature. Traditional salespeople tend to rush through that process, hope that the person doesn't have their human nature natural reaction of second thoughts or buyer's remorse. They try to close the deal, pass that problem on to somebody else, get that contract processed. At Sandler, we help the prospect embrace that. Bring it up. Help them go through it. Work through that second thought, that buyer's remorse. It might sound something like, Jim, I'm looking forward to working with you. I think it's going to be fun. This accounting solution is what your company needs. Now, you were a little concerned that we couldn't get the conversion in place within 3 weeks. It's going to be more like 5. Are you going to be okay with that? Help that person work through it. What better way to reinforce the role of a trusted advisor than to help that person work through their buyer's remorse? Rule number 6, don't buy back tomorrow what you sold today.
OK, Okay, so Carlos, you were telling me about how you began to help entrepreneurs, and you have a particular way of doing that, right, called a Seed for Success?
Yeah, the Seed for Success is our vision on how we're going to help out the small business entrepreneur and the startups, which basically stands to streamline, equalize, evangelize, and democratize is our model for the on how we're going to do that. One of the ways is building a community of entrepreneurs and startups to collaborate, engage, and participate with each other, and again to foster the entrepreneur spirit.
What role do you see this Venture Alliance playing in helping entrepreneurs?
Well, the Venture Alliance plays a huge role in providing a platform for them to become better at devising their business plan, getting them to analyze their infrastructure, and providing a platform to get some exposure that they desperately need, and give them access to the angel and investment community. So they play a huge role in furthering our cause.
Well, good. Let's welcome Jim Casperi into the conversation. Jim, tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, this whole idea of the Venture Alliance and what you did with Forbes in creating a list of companies that venture people might be interested in.
Well, thank you very much. I'm pleased to be able to share our thoughts. And, you know, like Carlos, I have the same vision that, you know, life's too tough for entrepreneurs and they need as much help, as much direction, and as much focus as they can get. I don't think entrepreneurs are lacking in their willingness to work hard, but working smart is what I think both Carlos and I are trying to help them do. And many years ago, I helped to found an angel investment organization right about the time of the dot-com craziness. And we were seeing so many entrepreneurs, and everyone wanted to give us a business plan, and you can only read so many business plans before your eyes start to cross. And we wanted to find a way to try and get to the root of what the entrepreneur had to offer sooner rather than later. So we said, well, the best way to do that is to have them answer a series of questions that are directed towards the kinds of things that we as investors would value and take them, you know, figure out which ones had the most number of those, you know, factors presented to us in the questions that they answered, and then begin to work with those. And that evolved into a more formalized process that began to weight the various components that we're looking for and adjust for different kinds of companies at different stages and ultimately rank them. So we basically developed a ranking system, somewhat like a FICO score, that would help entrepreneurs see how close they were to being potentially fundable or acceptable to a professional investor. We then took this concept to Forbes back in 2007 and spent 2 years taking all of the processes that we developed and compacting them into a very simple, easy-to-use, and free survey so that we wouldn't have a pay-to-play system for entrepreneurs to get onto the list. And in 2009, we processed over 10,000 companies, pulled out about 150 semifinalists, ran the semifinalists through a much more detailed process that involves over 1,000 questions that they had to answer in under 2 weeks. And the end result is we picked 20 to put on the list, and within a year they raised in excess of $92 million through something I like to call unsolicited capital, where all they really had to do was answer the phone from someone who had read the magazine or had seen the list on Forbes.com and said, you know, basically, would you be willing to accept any more money? And that's
Jim, I thought you said $92 million in unsolicited funds.
That is exactly correct. And that's not my number. That's one of the beauties of the process we've developed is when you publish a list with somebody like Forbes, they continually follow up with the companies and publish articles on how they're doing. And by their own articles and by their own follow-up, Forbes, you can go to their site and look it up. It's there, $92 million.
Wow. So what does that mean for entrepreneurs in Orange County?
Well, we had, I think, three entrepreneurs from Orange County on the list.
Really? And yeah. They participated in some of that $92 million.
Yes, they did. And some of them have even had liquidity events already.
Huh. Wow. Wow. So what about entrepreneurs who are looking for funding?
Well, you know, the ones that made the list were looking for funding. And, you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to say to entrepreneurs that step number one, go to Cajun Magazine, go to their portal for the Tigers list, take the free TVA qualifier and see what you might look like. And we have a 12-point radar graph that shows what the ideal would look like and then what the entrepreneur looks like based on their answers to the questions. The ideal is mapped out in red, and the entrepreneur's answers are mapped out in blue. So the more red you see, the more problems you have. Then what Capen is looking to do is create a community where we can validate resources that other entrepreneurs have used that can help you solve these problems. Because one of the biggest problems I've seen in 30 years of working with entrepreneurs is they get ripped off a lot by consultants that aren't any good. And we would rather have, in these meetups like the one you attended last night, have entrepreneurs bring their very best resources, the guy that did my website, the guy that wrote my business plan, and present them to other entrepreneurs and say, this guy did a good job for me. And then, you know, that way Carlos can publish a list that validates which resources are good. And then over time, those resources help those entrepreneurs to improve their TVA scores, so that ultimately the ones with the best scores get on something we call the Tigers list, which stands for top investment grade entrepreneurs. It's the same concept we used with Forbes. We're just doing it in Southern California, and we plan on having Tigers lists for different regions around the country, different market niches, as well as master reveals through national entities that can show the world who the best entrepreneurs are in the United States.
Okay, now, we got about 5 minutes left. Talk a little bit about, you mentioned this idea of meetups. So talk a little bit about how people can join one of those meetups.
Well, you can go to join the meetups. You can go to our website at capenmag.com/SoCalBusTies, which is SoCalBusTies. And then you can click on there to go to our at meetup.com, our online group there, and join us there. And you can get information on the several series of meetups that we will be producing. Some are going to be sponsored by some investor, prominent investment organizations here in Southern California. And the goal is to bring the service providers, entrepreneurs, startups, and to help them collaborate with each other, and then from there we grow our community that we can look to to develop our other lists that we have in mind, like Jim mentioned, possibly a list for the best consultants in Southern California, the top green companies in Southern California, or, you know, the first list that we're going to be publishing is the Tigers list, the top investment grade entrepreneurs. Basically, you can just go to the website, and it'll lead you to the to our online meetup group at on the meetup.com website.
All right. So, who should be coming to the meetup groups?
The meetup groups is really geared for the small business entrepreneur and the startup that needs help or direction or are looking for resources or information. Those are the people that that we like to cater to, but it's really open for other non-business owners, too, to create a community.
But I also say that it's also open for, you know, more advanced and mature companies that are looking to grow, because, you know, some of the companies that we put onto the Forbes list were, you know, had revenue in excess of $20 million and were profitable. So even at that point, companies like that might be looking for additional capital. They might be looking for quality support resources that can help them in a particular category. And I think the objective that Carlos and I are looking to do is to create a community where everyone that's looking for something to help them build and grow their business can find it.
That's exactly right. Last night at our meetup, we had an individual who's part owner of a corporation that has over $20 million in revenue and is looking for ways to expand their market share. And at the meetup, we introduced them to another company that can do just that. So that was a great connection that we did. And the meetup is really geared for the established businesses as well as the startups and, you know, small business owners. And I think bringing them together with them and the established entrepreneurs that volunteer for Tape and Magazine to become mentors, they'll be coming to the meetups as well. So we can create that community of engaging and collaboration, which is what the foundation of the magazine is built on, collaboration.
Now, Jim, I want to ask you one more time, because that's just such an astounding number. The 20 companies that wound up on the Forbes list that you helped put together, I understand right that they wound up getting $92 million?
That is exactly correct. They actually raised $65 million within the first 3 months of making it on the list. By the end of the year, they had raised over 92, and that number is still growing.
Now, when I look at that list, some of these are kind of small companies just starting up, but they must have scored, after they did some work, they must have scored fairly highly to be so sought after by angel investors and venture capitalists.
Well, Vextech is a company that actually has some revenue and had been in operation for about 5 years before they made the list, and they got a huge contract with Northrop Grumman as a result of making the list. So some of the monies that they got, in addition to raising working capital, they also got huge contracts. I mean, the Northrop Grumman contract was several million dollars. I know that Big Stage, which I think was number 18 or 17 on the list, they actually not only raised money, but they also sold themselves completely to another publicly traded company for a fairly nice return to the investors. And so they did very well. The companies are continually tracked by Forbes, and I get my information from the same place everybody else does. I read the articles.
All right. Well, that's wonderful, and that's available here in the early stages right now for entrepreneurs and companies looking for financing in Southern California through CAPIN. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Well,
right.
What else would you like to say to companies who are listening right now?
I like to say that, we are going to be promoting the targets list throughout Southern California. If they're interested to learn more about the targets list, to come see us at our meetups. We will have in different locations and different dates throughout the Tri-County area, Los Angeles, Orange County, and San Diego. Meet other people that are like-minded that are interested in raising funds for their companies or to collaborate. Or if there's people, established entrepreneurs that want to give back to the entrepreneur community by way of fostering or mentoring entrepreneurs. So hope to see some more people come by.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for being with us today. That's an astounding effort that you're – it's a huge vision that you have and great effort that you're showing right now. I'm glad that you're getting people out to the meetups.
Thank you.
Well,
I really appreciate
the opportunity to share, Will. Thank you for having us on your program.
Take care. So there you have it. Interesting that we're going to be using instant messaging a lot more and real-time communication from the report from Robert Half. And then also we're seeing the beginnings of strengthening the entrepreneurial community here in Southern California with these efforts with people like Jim Caspari and Carlos Pena. So come to the meetups, bring your ideas, bring your needs, come and see what's going on. This is it for the Pilgrim on the 405 on this warm day here in Laguna Beach. We look forward to talking with you again next Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3, with triple points on airfare. By 2, with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
You've been listening to the one show that takes you out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought possible. It's the Pilgrim on the 405 talking to the top technology leaders today in Orange County and elsewhere.